Good morning. It is time to get you prepared for any disaster that comes your way, except like maybe a phone bill in the mail that you didn't pay. Anything other than that, we're set for. And my guests are Lorenzo Santos. He's the director of the Racine County Office of Emergency Management, and Liz Adams, who is the deputy emergency management coordinator. This is part of our Racine County Traffic Safety Commission monthly get-together. Racine County Office of Emergency Management. Now, you can check this on the website. I figured out how to do it. It's Racine County/safety. Go down to the last one. That's the one we're talking about today. Racine County/safety. And you should be able to follow along with us today. Let's start off with the director, Lorenzo. Okay, so what kind of disasters are we looking at in Racine, per se? Because that's our audience.
Yeah, morning, Don.
Get a little close to that microphone.
I
don't want to miss a word.
In Racine, you know, one of the biggest disasters that we're always looking for, since we're close to a body of water, close to the Root River, is flooding. We want to make sure that we're always prepared for that. And of course, as we come up on, you know, the fall and winter, we want to make sure that we are prepared for winter storms. Wisconsin is no stranger to winter weather, and that's something that we always want to make sure that we're preparing for here.
What can happen in winter? I mean, I know tornadoes, hurricanes.
Sure.
I know earthquakes, all those kind of things, tsunamis, that we don't have tsunamis here. But, you know, I've seen devastation from tsunamis. So what in winter, what can be the problem?
Yeah, winter can wreak all sorts of havoc. I mean, really, one of the biggest things that you see is obviously traffic flow changes when it becomes winter. You get a lot of snow. That morning commute or even afternoon commute will get a lot tougher to handle. It can have a huge effect on electricity. You know, a lot of times when we have a blizzard or a winter storm, all of a sudden the power goes out. So that's going to affect a lot of people's day, whether it's home or work. So those are, you know, just two general ways that that a heavy winter storm is going to affect your everyday life.
You want to see people panic? And on the Ring camera thing, you have a neighborhood thing where people can type things in if there's, you know, they suspect something's wrong. If there's a blink of the lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Panic sets in amongst the neighborhood. Did your lights blink? Mine blinked. Did yours blink? And people, could you imagine having the lights out for days on end? No electricity. Talk about the panic coming in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
A blink of the light sets people, they can't breathe, their hearts start palpitating. You guys are kind of young, but do you remember the Groundhog Day storm we had here? 24 inches of snow in one day. Do you remember that? You guys are kind of young. You don't remember that?
No, not here.
It takes me 10 to 12 minutes to get here from my home.
Yeah.
It took me 2.5 hours to get here that morning. And I live right here on Main Street.
Oh, wow.
And that's how bad it was. It just kept coming down. I got on the road at about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had plenty of time. I couldn't see where the bridge was, the Main Street bridge. I couldn't see the roads. I couldn't see anything. And I was panicking because I couldn't see in front of me. I didn't know if I was going to hit the curb, go off the bridge. I couldn't even go down Victory Avenue. The snow was so deep. I had to park at Walgreens on Highway 20. I talked to the manager. He said, "Do you mind if I park here?" He goes, "I'm just pulling over there." And I had to walk here, yeah. 0.9 miles. My wife gave me food. I don't know how long she thought I was going to be trapped here. Soup cans and new clothing. I'm glad she brought the new clothing, though. And I had to walk through this blizzard with the snow up to my knees, mm-hmm. 0.9 miles. Where would you guys come in on something like that?
Yeah, you know, what we want to make sure that we're getting out is information to the public. We want to make sure that we're telling folks what the weather's going to look like. So we work very closely with NWS Milwaukee. We are always forecasting, previewing what's going to happen and trying to get that information out and working with first responders, because they're going to be the folks that are out there making sure that everyone is safe. When people are calling in to dispatch, it's our first response teams that are going to go out making sure that they're helping everyone. We are those that the team in the background that is helping out our first responders, making sure that they have the information that they need and the resources to respond effectively.
Let me talk to Liz for a second here. It says make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a plan for, well, tornadoes in our case, or even a snowstorm? Or we mentioned earlier that on, I was talking to you off the air, I thought it was in Kenosha. No, it had to be in Racine. A farmer's big tank of noxious chemicals spilled and it was in the air and there were homes nearby. How do you make a plan for something like that?
Yeah. So it's basically it's impossible to plan for everything. So what we try to do is develop principles and concepts that will be applicable no matter what the emergency. We call this all hazards planning. And you at home, you can also do something similar to this. You don't have to try to think about every possible emergency. I'm sure most people are not going to be planning for a hazmat release from a farm next door. But if you kind of know where the like evacuation route would be in your house, or if you know where like the rally point is in your yard for your family to meet up at, that can all be really helpful no matter what the emergency is.
How do you plan for a tornado? No, we don't get a lot of them in Racine. I have seen one before. When it took the doors off Menards on Highway 11 and also the roof off Case on Highway 11, how do you prepare for a tornado? Because, I mean, it'll rip your house right up the foundations if it hits you directly.
Yeah, tornadoes are definitely one of those hard ones because they can come out of nowhere. They happen very quickly, and a lot of times you get very little warning ahead of times. If you have a basement, if you have kids, letting them know, okay, if you hear the tornado sirens, go to the basement. If you don't have a basement, identifying a good place in your house to shelter from the tornado. If you're outside, generally knowing where to go if you hear the sirens or if you get the alert that there's a tornado warning imminent.
And you can't depend on cell phones because if there's a storm, who knows if cell phone coverage will go out. And nobody's got landlines anymore, so yeah. You're dependent on cell phones. But I think it's important. You mentioned a rally point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like even if you go out to an amusement park, if we get lost, we're meeting here by the carousel. You got to have a rally point because where are you going to look for people? I think that's really important. That should be number one on your list. You know, here's where we're going to meet if there's an emergency. Let's talk about the sirens. Yeah. Because we're very lucky. I can hear them blasting Saturdays at 4 p.m. Or is it noon or 4 p.m.? They blast them, test them on one of those hours on a Saturday. We're lucky because they're in good shape now. There are cities that are wiped off the map, and they say, well, our sirens weren't working. We were going to get new ones. It's too late now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're very lucky. So who's in charge of the sirens? Who tests and blasts those out?
Well, often it comes down to individual municipalities. What I will say is, you know, we get a lot of calls. People ask, hey, you know, we could not hear the siren. A lot of times you're not going to hear it if you're inside. Maybe sometimes, depending on if you have music up loud, you're not going to hear it. So one of the things that I would say is one of the best things that you have in your toolbox to have that preparedness and have that situational awareness of storms is get yourself a NOAA radio, weather radio. Those are very important. They're very loud. If there are any kind of storms, any kind of alerts that come through, you're absolutely going to hear it. And it's going to be one of the best things that you can have available to make sure that you get that information in a timely manner.
Okay, so that's important. Get yourself a NOAA weather radio, making sure it works on batteries because it's not going to help you much if the electric's out. And most of them do. I have one at home. And most of them do. And it's tuned to a local frequency, and they'll let you know immediately if there's severe weather on the way. And it can be severe thunderstorms. I mean, those wreak havoc. I know that. So we have tornadoes, a possibility. We have snow. What else can happen here? Whether you guys are in charge of here in the Racine area that we have to not worry about, but be concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, we just had some recent flooding. We're close
by. Oh, that's right, flooding.
To the river. That's one of the most common hazards in the country. So we're always making sure that we look very carefully at that. There are, you know, and people may not know, but there are gauges throughout those waterways that are always measuring those levels. We are keeping track of those, and we're always kind of making sure that we're able to work with the National Weather Service to forecast what those future trends look like.
You know, I remember there was a big flood. I hate to sound like my grandfather. This is years ago when I was on my first tour of duty here.
Sure.
And I was going home on Spring Street.
Yeah.
And it was blocked off.
Mm.
It was totally underwater. The homes had the water over their front porches. Yeah. The river overflowed.
Right.
Yep.
And I remember Lutheran High School had sandbags all around the school.
Yeah.
But it was too late at that point because they're right on the river there. I mean, just things just flooded. Man, you got to be ready for something like that. Yeah. And I don't know what you could do if the water's rising that fast. I don't know. Get a rowboat. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do other than, you know, because it's going to come in your house. Mm-hmm. Sandbags are only good, you know, for so long before the water gets up, gets past that. What can you do with flooding other than run for your lives, you know?
Yeah, and that's a very good point. You know, we're always making sure that we're getting ahead of the problem. That's the most important thing. The more information we get out to the public ahead of time, the more the public is able to take effective and timely action. So we're always watching, get that information out. If it gets bad enough, we want to, you know, relocate people to a safer area because, as you said, you know, we don't want it to get to a point where, you know, there's nowhere to go. So we're always just making sure that we can get that information out as soon as possible, because if we do need to get people to a safer location that's not inundated, that's what we want to do as quickly as we can.
It says here on the website, build a kit. What kind of kit are we talking about here?
So we're talking about a kit that you can build at home for you and your family. There's some general basic things that are good to have in that kit. Number one is probably water. You want to have a gallon of water for every person in your household and pet per day.
And oh, that's right,
at minimum. Yeah, yeah. Don't forget about the pets. And you want to have at minimum 3 days worth of water. You also want to have some shelf-stable food, non-perishables, cans, things like that, flashlights, batteries. You want to have copies of any important documents, any prescriptions that your family might be on, and then also, you know, some comfort items, especially if you have young children or pets as well. Comfort items can be really important.
My teddy bear?
Sure. Yeah.
So you mentioned that have batteries, mm-hmm. which is real important to have. And when my mother moved up here to Racine, she didn't really need the batteries that much. And when she passed away, I was cleaning out her apartment and I found this giant box of batteries, a couple of hundred batteries. Now they were no good anymore, but she was ready in Florida if something should happen. She went out and bought out the entire store of Home Depot of their batteries. I found the end. My mother was ready.
Yeah.
She had her weather radio. She had the batteries. And she was ready to rock and roll in case there was something. Now, that was in Florida.
Yeah.
Here she didn't have much of a problem. So you could build that kit. And you said flashlights important.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh batteries,
yes.
Very important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you have children, you're right. Bring some of their toys with them because, you know, when people get scared, I know I grab my teddy bear when I get scared and give it a hug. And the animals bring food for them.
Yep.
Water, because they don't know. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Don't forget about your furry family members as well.
And maybe a poop bag for the dog.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a shelter, dog's going to go.
Right.
They don't know. So that's good. Okay. Preparing for disasters. That's, you know, we talked briefly about it. Let's talk more about it because it's on the site here. Preparing for disasters, and the ones we talked about, flooding, heavy snowfall, tornadoes. We don't have any hurricanes here in Wisconsin. Earthquakes. Now, people say, we don't get earthquakes here. We did once.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how I knew about it. We had a parakeet in the cage, and the parakeet went crazy. We'd go out there, and the parakeet was banging off the cage doors and everything, panicking. Yeah. I said, what is going on? Later that morning, there was a small earthquake that hit Wisconsin. The bird knew it because he felt it. He felt the whatever there was, and he started to panic in the cage. That's how I knew we had an earthquake. So, I mean, nobody really felt it, but it can happen. I mean, who knows, right? I don't know if we're ready for an earthquake here. I don't know if people know what to do. I mean, are we ready for that in case there is one?
You know,
you don't think about that.
That's a good question. We're planning for all hazards. That's something that doesn't necessarily reach our exercises as much, but you want to make sure that you have a plan. You want to make sure that you know to get under your desk, get to a place that is structurally sound, that if that building did collapse, you know, you would have the greatest chance of survivability. It's something to think about.
I felt good coming to work this morning. I don't feel that good anymore.
Yeah. But the good news is, you know, there's a lower chance of that, but you always do want to at least think about it and have that in your toolkit in case that does happen.
I'll tell you something nobody thinks about until it's an emergency. I used to live in Brown Deer, you know, where there's north of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And we had a big flood. big rain, 9 inches in just a few hours. And the interstate, I-43, was underwater. We saw cars, you know, underwater, which is gas and oil bubbling up through the water. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
And it was, we don't have sidewalks in Brown Deer. So the water just went up my front lawn, and the sump pump couldn't handle it. Now, my house was lower than the rest, so all that water came here. So I ran out to Menards. It was pouring rain. And as soon as they opened the doors, I ran to the sump pump department, and I grabbed anyone I can find, and I stuck it next to the other one in the hole to get the water out of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't think about sump pumps.
Yep.
Because you don't use them that often, right. And like anything else, you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would test my sump pump every once in a while.
Yeah.
Make sure that motor's running in there, because when you have a flood, that could be your best friend. I told my daughter, I said, get a knife. And we cut a hole through the screen, and I put the hose through the window to get out to the street. Just I went through the water out of my house.
Right, yeah.
It was just coming in really fast. And we had somebody here, Jane Matinere, who works on our other station here. She had water in her basement. And Earl Ingram said he had 4.5 feet of water in his basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how for some pump can keep up with that, but at least, you know,
something.
It'll get something out of it. Okay. Teach youth about preparedness. Do you think young people really know or care about this kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You do think they do?
Our youth are some of the, you know, our greatest assets. They're very good at, you know, learning these things in a crisis. You'd be surprised just how well our young folks are out there performing.
Really?
And Scouts have a huge history of being a part of emergency preparedness, of community emergency response teams. So we're very proud of working with our youth, and they're very smart. When they come up to us during the fair and we ask them questions, we have the Wheel of Disaster.
Yep.
You know, they generally know what they're talking about.
The Wheel of Disaster. Oh, yeah. I don't like the sound of that.
We offer trivia questions for candy at the fair, and it's always a hit.
Sounds ominous.
Do you remember any of them?
Questions?
I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you remember any of those?
I think, let's see. Well, something like, where's the best place in your house to go in a tornado would be one of
our
questions.
It's either the bathroom in the bathtub or in a door frame. What, am I close?
Yeah.
You want to go to your basement. That's the number one. If you have a basement.
But what if the bathtub is in the basement? That's good.
That'll also be a good opportunity.
That's right. Go to the basement, because the top of the house will blow away.
Or if you don't have a basement, a lot of people, you know, maybe don't have basements. So.
Right. I hate to bring up stories like this, but you know where Barneveld is? Barneveld, Wisconsin. It's on Highway 18 toward Madison. And it must have been in the late 70s, because I was living in Atlanta when it happened. And a series of tornadoes went through Barneveld in the middle of the night when people were sleeping.
Yep.
And every single house except three were destroyed. Mm. Every house.
Yeah.
If you go there today, all the houses are modern except three of them.
Mm.
And if you go to the bank in the center of town, you could see where half the bank were knocked out, because you see the new bricks where they fixed it.
Rebuilt it.
So I went out there and I went to a diner. And I wanted to ask about it because I was curious. And I was saying, are they sensitive about it? I brought it up, and everybody wanted to talk about it. The guy at the register was a volunteer fireman. He said it happened 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And there were no sirens. Everybody was sleeping. They weren't ready for it. But then they heard the destruction, and everybody panicked. Because, you know, you're sleeping in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, you don't know what. You can't see them. It's pitch dark outside. And every home except three was just knocked off their foundations. Nobody died.
Oh.
But there were people hurt.
Yeah.
And if you go there today, when I was watching the CBS Evening News in Atlanta, Dan Rather was talking, and they showed the Barneveld Water Tower. That was all that was standing. And you could see it when you go by today, the Barneveld Water Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it, and every time I go through there to get to Madison, I stop by the town. And they used to have a big diorama right in the middle of town there with pictures before and after.
Mm.
I mean, not that they're proud of it, but it was an historical thing.
Oh, yeah.
Barneveld
absolutely.
Being wiped off the face of the earth.
And they rebuilt. That is something to be proud of.
They rebuilt. You can see every house is modern. You know, they were built in the 1980s, where you got three of them were built about 100 years ago.
Hmm.
And it's very obvious. So those houses weren't hit. But the bank was, half of the building was just knocked away. And you could see where it was rebuilt. But the diorama was right in front of the bank, so you can compare old with new.
Right.
But that goes to show you, I mean, you can get really hurt. Let's quick review here. We talked about making a plan. Everybody, you know, people put that up, well, we'll do that tomorrow. No, do it today.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Do it today because tomorrow may be too late. Make a plan. You can make a plan for fire. What if there was a fire in the house? Mm-hmm. What if, you know, something happened outside? I mean, make a plan. What are you going to do? Where are you going to meet? You know, build a kit. And when you decide that the kit includes maybe some food, bottled water, because you don't know if the water is going to be out. I mean, electricity's mm-hmm. out. Sometimes water goes out with it. Build a kit including water, and if you have children, bring some of their toys in there. You have pets, bring pet food, because pets want to eat. Right. They don't know there's a tornado out there. So build the kit and keep it a place. I guess you have to keep it in a place where you can grab it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Real quick, and so you don't forget about it. Build a kit. Prepare for disasters. And we talked about NOAA weather radios.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get one of those. And you don't have to be panicky about it. Just keep it around. Maybe put it in the mm-hmm. kitchen or something or in your bedroom. And just keep it, you know, there so when there is a weather emergency, you can turn it on. Because people say, well, I'll watch it on TV or listen on radio. But if your radio or TV's on electric,
right.
you're in trouble. Now, most radios aren't, but if you do. And teach your youth about preparedness. Teach your kids. And don't put it off. If you put it off, you're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. And you say there are scouting troops and so forth
oh, yeah.
preparing on this?
Yes.
You got your wheel of disaster. Again, I don't like the sound of that. And just be ready for this stuff. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's nice to know that you won't be in a panic if it happens. But now I'm scared. I'm gonna look. It's raining outside. Let me see if it's still raining. Hey, you never know. When I think of tornadoes, I think of the Wizard of Oz. When that lady's in the rocking chair waving at Dorothy oh, yeah. going yeah. by. Or you got the movie Twister. You've seen that, right?
Yep.
And the cow's going flying by there. I mean, these things are scary.
Yep.
Especially in that movie. It looked so realistic
oh, yeah.
in Twister. In Wizard of Oz, you know, didn't look so real. Okay, Lorenzo Santos, who's the director of the Racine County Office of Emergency Management. Liz Adams is the deputy director and of the coordination of the emergency management. How many people you got working there?
It's a two-person office, yep. and we have two part-times, and we have a volunteer.
Do you have times you cannot take vacations?
Yeah, sure.
During
yeah.
tornado yeah. season? And
If there's something major going on, it's all hands on deck, and if there's, you know, something that's predicted, you know, we've got to be ready to spring into action.
Hi, this is Lorenzo. I got a Mai Tai by hand on the beach of Jamaica, but I know you people are having some problems
no,
there.
No.
So here's what we're going to do.
No.
My son got us, I forget what the occasion was. He got us a knapsack full of all this food that will never go bad for like 100 years.
Oh, nice.
I'm not going to eat that stuff. I mean, any food past a few months, I'm not going to eat. But he got this because, you know, what if there's an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
You just take this knapsack. But I think he was talking on world domination or something. But it, you know, it wasn't that bad an idea to have this knapsack full of food that you can eat mm-hmm. in an emergency because, you know, who knows? You're going to think about emptying the fridge. I still have it. I guess it's okay. He gave it to us, you know, 75 years ago. So I guess it's okay. No, it was about 10 years ago. I have to take a look at it. But it wasn't that horrible an idea to do something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So you're waking up right now. You say, oh, I missed the beginning of this. What do I do? It'll be podcast tomorrow morning on WRJN.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to hear it. So Liz Adams and Lorenzo Santos, thank you for coming in. I want to thank Tom Nitter for setting this up. He's from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. I mean, I'm kind of nervous now. I felt good coming in this morning, and now I'm kind of like, maybe I should get that food
just
tested.
Just make your plan, and then you'll be good to go.
What about those ladders you see people throw out the window? You ever see them in the fire, those portable ladders? I would never get on one of those. I just pull the whole frame of the window out of the house, and I go crashing down with it on my head. You ever see those ladders?
Yeah.
Do they work?
I think they do, but there is a weight limit, I believe.
I think I'm over the weight limit. I think I was over the weight limit when I was 15 years old.
A fire guy's got you. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They'll help you out.
Just wave your shirt out the
window
or
I saw a kid the other day, and a little kid, he got scared. The house was on fire, and the fireman said, jump. And the kid, I couldn't understand, he didn't want to jump.
Yeah.
Caught him right in his arms.
Yep.
Well, when you're jumping out the window.
That's scary, yeah.
I know it is. And the flames are licking your butt in the background. You got a choice. What are you going to do? Hit the ground or burn? Thank you guys for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I really do. And this is something that's so important. And we're glad we do this every month from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission.